Right now, we're going to head on out to Bangor, Maine. Joining us right now is our chief astronomy correspondent, Dr. Neil Cummins. He's the professor of astronomy over at the University of Maine, and he joins us now to talk about an item I spotted today. As a matter of fact, this is so fresh that CBS actually just let it on the news today that there's going to be a new asteroid passing by Earth tomorrow, and it's called DX-110. And Professor Cummins, thank you for joining us here on KFGO tonight.
Always a pleasure.
This one is going to be pretty doggone close, but let's go back just a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had another one that was supposed to be so close to Earth. Did they ever see that one?
Not that I'm aware of.
Was that kind of, how could they have predicted that wrong?
It's not so much as wrong as particularly dim, and if you're not looking at it with powerful enough telescopes, you're not going to see it. These things can be as dark as coal. So, you've got to be lucky in some ways and looking in the right place at the right time, or otherwise you're just going to miss it.
So let's talk, first of all, before we talk about this particular asteroid, how do people discover asteroids? When you've got looking through the telescope, how are they know that, hey, that's an asteroid, it's coming our way?
Yeah, that's a good question. What happens is that you take a timed exposure, which is typical. When I observe, sometimes the telescope is taking one picture for an hour. And as it is taking the picture, it follows the stars in the sky. And if one of those points of light isn't a star, but is something in our solar system, then it's going to be moving across the sky at a speed that's different than the telescope is moving. And therefore, after, say, an hour, you see a streak and the background stars. And it's that streak that tells you it's something here. And if we don't, we look it up in our catalogs and if we don't know what it is, then it's a new body, an asteroid.
Mm-hmm. So the stars remain, we can say, fixed then. We're looking for these moving objects.
That's right, because our telescopes track the stars. Of course, everyone knows the stars move across the sky at night. Our telescopes are designed to move at the same speed, but the asteroids, they don't know that. They move at whatever speed they're going, and if they aren't at the same speed as the stars, we see a streak.
I got you. This asteroid that's coming our way tomorrow night, it's called the DX-110. First of all, how in the world, how do they get names like that?
It's a cycle of names that they use. First is DX-1, DX-2, DX-3, and then when they get to the end, then they make it DY-1, DY-2, DY-3, and so on. So it's a systematic but, obscure naming system that we have.
Well, George Pluto got a planet named after him. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea if it was George Pluto or not. But so DX-110 is moving close. How close is it going to be to Earth?
It's going to be about 90% as far away as the moon is at its minimum distance from us.
So we're talking, what, a couple, probably 200,000 miles, something like that?
That's good. Yeah, it's about 215,000 miles minimum.
Has anything ever come closer than that, or is this the closest one we've ever seen?
Oh, no. We have things skipping off of our atmosphere all the time. And so, this is bigger than those, and you don't want this one to hit you. But things are coming by us, at us, down to us. Almost every minute. Go ahead.
No, I would say, by the way, I forgot to ask you, how big do they estimate this asteroid to be?
Well, that's a good question. They don't know for sure because they only discovered it 4 days ago. But based on how bright it is and other things, it's somewhere between 65 and 130 feet across. So ballpark, about 100 feet or maybe the third the size of a football field.
So if something that size should hit Earth, I mean, it's obviously going to cause major, major damage, but it's not going to put an end to life on this planet, right?
Right on both counts. It will definitely make a crater, unless it's, Yeah, it'll just definitely make a crater, depending on its composition, how big that crater will be. But it will be as powerful an impact as the effect of many nuclear bombs combined in one place.
If something like that should get into our atmosphere, what would happen if it did hit water?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It turns out that these things are moving so fast that if and when they do hit the oceans, because they do, they will plow right through them. There will be a tremendous amount of steam generated, a huge splash. But by and large, they're going to hit the bottom of the oceans within seconds of hitting the tops of the oceans, just because they're moving that fast. And then they'll make a crater down there.
Really?
If it is rock and metal, which is typical for asteroids, and if it is not just very powders, some of them appear, and we don't know for sure, but some of these objects in space appear to be very weakly held together by gravity. Instead of being just rock or metal, they're just little pieces held together. But if it's a certified rock 100 feet across, it's going to do that.
So I mean, that really shocks me because, oceans obviously could be several miles deep, but they could mm-hmm. still cause damage to the ocean floor.
That's right, because considering these things are moving round numbers, maybe 10,000 miles an hour. So if the ocean is a few miles deep, then it's going to take, a matter of seconds for it to go through a few miles at that speed.
Wow. Like Everybody Loved Raymond's hit the dad there. Holy crap. That's Peter Boyle. The asteroids, it seems like we're discovering more and more. I'm just kind of curious, how many people are actually out there around this Earth keeping an eye on the skies looking for this type of thing?
That's a really interesting question. I don't have a definitive number, but ballpark figure on a given night, allowing that it's, not cloudy, et cetera, hundreds of people around the world.
Some people actually live for this, don't they? I mean, their job, but it's almost like a hobby they just can't break.
That's absolutely right. It is really fascinating to see people who are completely focused on things like finding new ones.
Okay. Well, Professor Dr. Neil, I want to take a break here for just a moment and come back. And when I come back, I want to ask you about the fact that what if it should hit something, not necessarily on Earth, but what if the moon gets in the way? Is that going to throw off our tides, that type of thing? So I'll ask you that question when we come back, okay?
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your
There you go,
helmet on.
Mr. David Bowie on the mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Neil Cummins, our special guest tonight, and before we did the break there, I think I said 217 million. It's 217,000 miles that this object will be passing past Earth. And so it's going to be, it could possibly be, close. It's going to be closer to the moon if it should work that way, right, Doctor? Than closer to Earth.
That's right.
Is that going to do anything to us?
I'm sorry.
Is that going to do anything to the tides? To anything?
Good question. The short answer is no. It's mass. How much matter it has? I did a quick calculation, and its mass is something like 1/10 the mass of the Empire State Building. If your listeners have been to New York or have seen pictures of it, it's a big building, but still it's not much compared to the mass of the Earth. So as far as that thing passing by and having a gravitational effect on us, the short answer is no.
Okay. What if they miscalculated and it should hit the moon?
That's an interesting question, too. It turns out that, there is no atmosphere on the moon to slow it down, to vaporize any of it before it strikes. And therefore, if it struck the moon, and by the way, this happens like all the time. If it struck the moon, it would make a massive crater there. And with our telescopes here on Earth, we should definitely be able to see that crater after it's been made, if it's on our side of the moon, because we only see one side all the time. And we have seen impacts on the moon of smaller objects, but something of that size and mass and that speed, that would be something on I wonder what they would name the crater.
DX-110. But if it hits the moon, do you think that would have any effect as far as what's going on Earth?
Again, the short answer is no. Let me correct myself here. Given the angle of impact and the speed of impact on the moon, it is entirely possible that some moon debris would be splashed off and leave the moon forever. Think of just throwing a rock in the water. You throw the rock in the water, water splashes up. Well, if you throw a rock in fast enough, hard enough, you can make a splash that would send water, you know, way far away. Well, if this thing struck the moon, it may well splash debris off the moon, and some of that debris could potentially fall onto Earth, and then we'd know about it.
And hence, no atmosphere, as you mentioned there. It would not rotate around the moon then. It would be coming our way more than likely.
If it hit on our side, yes.
Okay. Because didn't we have a meteor hit, what was it, Jupiter a few years ago? Or was it Saturn?
No, Jupiter.
Jupiter. And we had a chance to see that telescopically, and it was a massive asteroid, if I remember.
Actually, it was. It has happened several times. Very recently, an amateur astronomer saw that event that you mentioned, but a few years back, a comet, which is mostly rock and ice, was pulled apart by Jupiter's gravity, flew around it, came back, and hit it. Six or seven different pieces hit it, and we watched that very carefully, and it made a big impact. No pun intended.
Doctor, as you look at this now, as you see this coming tomorrow night, if it passes through, and everybody's positive it will, are we going to see this baby again, and how soon will it come around again?
Now, that calculation has been done. I mean, we can do that really quickly now. It turns out that this thing goes around the sun every 3.25 years in round numbers. However, it won't be coming in our neighborhood for the better part of 50 years.
Okay, well, I'm going to miss it coming around again then, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But this is, it's just a fascinating, fascinating story. And to discover this only a couple of days ago, I mean, that in its own kind of surprised me just a little bit. But as you say, it's not as big as some of those massive ones that we've seen before.
You're right, but there are ones like this out there all over the place. And it is good that we're looking for them. You know, we'd probably have to get Bruce Willis to, you know, take care of it if it was coming our way, I mean, head on. But that is an issue, and astronomers have calculated the probability of different sized objects striking the Earth. You know, how frequently, say, something the size of the Empire State Building will strike the Earth, and so on. And fortunately, the bigger it is, the less likely it is. And the big things, like this one that we're talking about right now, don't strike the Earth any more than once every few million years, depending on its size and mass, which we don't know exactly yet. So, yeah, we got to worry about these things, but we have a handle on how often they're likely to actually strike. And as you know, we know from watching television, we now have the technology to deal with it if we know soon enough.
Speaking of television, will we be able to see this at all with television or the naked eye? What have you noticed? Have you gotten any word on that?
Yes, it is small enough and dark enough that it is not going to be a naked eye object. However, I would be very surprised if there aren't telescopes watching it. And this being the 21st century, it is likely that we would get, you know, live feed. So my best, and it's an educated guess, is that we will be able to see it, if you will, on television through the technology of telescopes.
So probably somewhere on your computer tomorrow night, you'll be able to see this pass by.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, do we have an approximate time then?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't know, you know, what time of day they have it passing us.
Okay.
If I
I can do the Google too, but I just thought maybe you knew right offhand.
Not off the top of my head, exactly when. No.
Okay. Here I've got something here. March 5th, 2014, at 2100 UT. What does that mean?
Universal time.
Okay.
And converting 2100 UT to with Mountain Standard Time?
We're in Central.
Oh, you're in Central. I bet. if I can do that.
I'm not even sure where that comes out of. Where's Universal Time? Where does that start?
It starts in Greenwich, England.
Oh, okay. So then we're probably talking, well, we could be talking in the afternoon. That's when we'll start passing through anyway.
Right.
Well, I'm heading for the computer then.
Yeah, right.
All right, very good. Well, Doctor, you're always a great, great reference as far as anything we have, concerns or questions concerning astronomy, and I really appreciate you joining us again tonight. And you've got a website, your Authors Guild website, right?
That's right.
Okay. And you can look up Dr. D. And by the way, it's a different type of spelling for Cummins. It's not the one we're used to, right?
Right. It's C-O-M-I-N-F. And I go, and Neil is N-E-I-L. And I go by Neil F. as in Frank Cummins. Okay. And I recently updated my resume, which I haven't done in 13 years.
you had to put the comic book in there? Is that the deal?
You think you're kidding. And I put that on that website. So.
Oh, okay. Tell the folks again, you're in the comics where?
In Japan.
Japan. Unbelievable.
I'm a cartoon character in Japan. Have been for 16 years now.
Do you get paid for that?
I do.
Super. We got to get that gig, Scott. We got to get that gig. Anyway, thank you again so much. And it's just, like I say, we'll be in touch. And, oh, by the way, I just want to let folks know that if you do get a chance, if you go to the bookstore, one of my favorite books of yours, by the way, is What If the Moon Didn't Exist? Voyages to Earth That Might Have Been. I mean, it's really a great book. But you're busy, and I'm going to let you loose. And thank you so much again for joining us here at KFGO.